Isaiah chapter 64. I like to preach out of Isaiah, the old prophet. Isaiah 64. Look down at verse number 8. Isaiah 64 and verse 8. The Word of God says, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou art our potter. And we all are the work of Thy hand." Think about that verse. We're just the clay. He's the potter. What does the potter do with the clay? He makes something out of it, doesn't he? I'm going to talk about today God's clay vessels. Do you ever think about that? That you're clay in the potter's hand? God's making something out of you, brother. Amen. He can make you an honorable vessel or a dishonorable vessel, as we'll learn today. We are the clay, and God's making something out of us, out of all of us. Romans 9:21 says, "Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" May we pray. Loving God, thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you for health and strength and this opportunity that we might assemble together, as you said, that we're to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together in the manner that some do. Thank you that we were able to gather today. Thank you, Lord, that we had the freedom to gather together. And I pray it might continue to be so, Lord, in this land of the home of the brave. Thank you for our country. We pray for it. It needs the mercy, the grace of God, and it needs a spiritual awakening in it. And we pray for it in the mighty saving name of Jesus Christ. Help me today, Lord, to share the Word of God with the people of God, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. When I was playing baseball in the Tri-County League many, many years ago, I met a man who had a shop where he made clay vessels here between here and Red Springs. He took me there one day and showed me how he'd made some jugs and cups and bowls and other vessels from clay on a revolving wheel he had there in a little shop behind his house. It was an amazing process to watch him do that. He had a gift for making these kind of items out of old muddy clay. This is true of God, as we are His workmanship. God's making something out of all of us. We may not think about it, but He really is. God is using the trials and the struggles and the good times to make us who we are. Some of us, it takes more work to get us to be as we should, but God continues to work. He's working on us as believers in Jesus Christ, and He wants to make us an honorable vessel for His namesake. Think about this. As my new friend took some clay in his hand, wet, miry clay, and with water in it, fashioned it into a usable vessel. And God is shaping believers into perfection for eternal glory. This guy gave me a saucer he had made back then. As I watched him take his hand with place the clay on a revolving wheel, it began to take a form he wanted it to make. He was going to make something not only beautiful but practical out of that clay. It would take patience, time, labor for the vessels to be made complete. He would even have to place it in a hot oven and bake it. Sounds like some of the troubles and trials we have in life, don't we? Trying times God puts us through sometimes. Just like my friend with that wad of clay. Had no form to it, just wet. And he put it on that wheel there, then took his hand and started turning that wheel, and he started shaping it up. I see people do that on TV sometimes. God's ancient people, Israel, were a stubborn people. Rebellious, stiff-necked people. The Jews always been known as that kind of people. Even to today. God's ancient people. A people God dearly loves is a Jew. But they would not listen to God. And finally, God divorced them. And allowed her enemies to drive them into the nations of the world because of all their sin, rebellion. The Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Moabites, Amorites, Philistines, Canaanites, Rome, Persia, others, just kept, God sent them against the Jewish people. They still didn't want to listen. Still didn't want to listen. But God said one day he was going to gather Israel back to her homeland to be his people. Right now they're in all the nations of the world. But in my lifetime, God has started bringing them back, as I'm fixing to show you from the scriptures. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 23, God says, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries, listen to this now, where I have driven them. Get this now. These are my people, God says. But I've drove them into all the countries of the world because of their sin, all their disobedience. I took them out of their homeland that I'd give to them because they wouldn't listen to me. I even divorced them. And I will bring them again to their foes, God said, and they shall be a faithful and increase. God says, I've driven them out, but one day I'm going to bring them back to their land that I gave to them. And in my lifetime, I'm seeing them come back in unbelief. They're still in unbelief, but God's got a plan. In our language, we would say God's got a plan up his sleeve. Amen. In Jeremiah 29:14, Jeremiah writes, God said, I'll be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. God says, you disobeyed me, and I drove you into the countries of the world. They captured you. But I'm going to bring you back one day to your own homeland. And then in Jeremiah 31:8, the prophet said, and God speaking through the prophet, behold, I will bring them from the north country, Russia, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. God says again, no matter where they're at, I'm going to bring my people back to their homeland. In my lifetime, as I said, I've seen God bringing the Jews back. There's over 6 million Jews now come back to the land of Israel. And they still that many or more scattered throughout the world. But they're all will be heading back to Israel. God's not done with Israel. He still loves Israel. He's got a plan with Israel. But Israel's clay in the hand of God. He's going to make something out of her. Even though they've brought great pain to the heart of God, even though they've been disobedient to God, God is the God of a second chance, folks. Aren't you glad He is? Amen. Because we haven't been faithful to God over the years, but God gives us a second chance. Amen? Praise God. Romans 11, and Paul wrote about this in beginning in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit. Listen to this now. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. We are the Gentiles. We are the age of the church. And when the church is raptured, then God's going to start dealing back with the Jews again. And so all Israel shall be saved, God says. Listen to this. God said all Israel's going to be saved. But you know this? Two-thirds of them's going to be killed first in the tribulation time. It's going to be a costly rebellion against God. Two-thirds of them are going to suffer after the rapture of the church and be killed under the Antichrist. Only one-third of them will enter into that thousand-year reign. But they'll enter as a saved people who found their Messiah at last. Zacharias tells us about that in his writings. The Bible says, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So there at the very end, all that survived the tribulation will be saved, but it'll only be a third of the Jewish people. God will finish what He starts. God saved you one day, didn't He? He's going to take you to heaven saved one day, amen? But in the meantime, we should be growing in grace. We should be becoming a people that honors Him. And glorifies Him, a people that He can use to help be a blessing to other people. The Bible says, but when He gets through with Israel, she's going to be a delight to His heart. In Zechariah 14 and 20 and 21, it says about Israel in that day when she has come to know the Lord, and that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And in pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seat therein. And in that day there shall no more be the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. All her enemies will be gone one day. Boy, won't that be something for Israel to rejoice in when they finally come to know the Lord as their Messiah. In the church age, when one is saved, we become a new person. When you're saved, you're a new person forever. You're born again. You become a child of God, a son or a daughter of God. You'll always be that now. But what kind of son or daughter will you be? Will you be one that's faithful and obedient? Will you be bringing honor and glory to the Lord since you've been saved? That's determined by you and you alone. That's why it's so important we be in the Bible, we be in church, and we live a life that's faithful to the Lord. We become babes in the Lord when we are saved. And we have to grow just like a little baby has to grow. We grow from a baby Christian to a young Christian. And then if we're willing and we'll feast on the Word of God, we can become full-grown Christians, loving the Lord, serving the Lord, and being used of the Lord. The Apostle John writes it this way in 1 John 2:12 and 13. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. In those verses, he talks about the little children, the young men, and the adults, the full-grown spiritual ones. And so all of us, when we're saved, if we live right, obey the Lord, we grow just like a little baby over there. Those children, in time, they'll grow to be grown people. And in time, I'll be gone, and they'll be here. They'll be filling your places. That's the way it's been through the generations. We're being replaced, and we should be replaced by more spiritual people to keep the gospel going to each and every generation. Amen. Jeremiah said in chapter 18, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so you're in my hand, O house of Israel. God says to Israel, I'm going to do as I want to do with you. And he can do that with us too. He's the one that made us. We didn't make ourselves. We're living in a world today, people think they are not going to have to answer to God. People live today like there's no God. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to stand before God brought by yourself. And all your life is going to be exposed. There's not going to be any secrets. Going to be like it is. If you're saved, your sins have been washed away, and you're not going to be judged for sin. You're going to be judged to see how faithfully you serve the Lord. And then it'll be determined what kind of eternal vessel you'll be. It's kind of like the only image I can give you is like being in the army. You got a private, and you got a corporal, you got a sergeant. You got first sergeants, staff sergeants, etc., on up the line to generals. And as we live our life, we're going to determine by what we live, how we live, where, what capacity we'll be able to serve the Lord at. That's the best way I know how to share with you what he says. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil I thought to do to them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it. Jeremiah 18:5-9. God sent Jonah to Nineveh. God said, I'm going to destroy that city of Nineveh with hundreds of thousands of people in it. But when Jonah went and preached, that whole city repented, and God didn't destroy a single person because they repented. 100 years later, they had forgot about God and went back into their sin, and God lowered the boom on them. You got to always be faithful. You can't slack up. You got to be faithful. You got to keep growing in grace. You got to keep obeying the Lord. You got a bowl at home, for example, you can mar that bowl. It can be brand spanking new, but you can crack it. Tammy gave Faye a bunch of bowls for Christmas. If I drop one of them, I'm dead. That bowl will probably break. And we're clay. God's making a vessel out of us. We can let sin ruin us, mar us. We bring disgrace to God and ourselves. Do we understand what God is saying in these verses? Not only to the people of Israel, but to people everywhere. We're clay in the potter's hand. He wants to make an honorable vessel out of us. So we'll be blessed and he'll get glory. We can't live like we want to live and let the flesh run our life. The flesh will ruin you. God can do as he pleases, and he always is right in what he does. He never does wrong. If he makes America great, and he has. But look at other nations. Look at the nations of Africa, South America, Asia, third world countries. But look at America, how we've been. But here's a problem. America has forgot about God. And look what's happening to us. After January the 6th, we might be a socialist country like Venezuela, and then it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough because we got some godless people dying to get in. Amen. And godless people have put in false ballots. And the courts won't even listen to it. They won't even take the case. Even the Supreme Court won't listen. I know I'm being recorded. When God gets ready to judge a nation that's forgot about him, you can't do anything about it. God can also bring a nation down when he gets ready. You might be the greatest nation in the world. You can be brought down overnight. Right now, this minute, a number of countries, Russia, China, maybe others, can explode something overhead and our whole electrical grid will go down and we'd be ruined. You wouldn't have any power. Everything would just stop. I'm going to tell you something. You can't mess with God. You can't mess with God. On the other hand, if we're living and going to church and acting like we're supposed to be living and doing, nothing couldn't happen to us for nothing. Why? Because God is God. He's the potter. And if he needs to take the clay and remold it, he can. Let raise somebody else up. I'm just telling the truth. Look at some of the nations in the past who were once powerful nations. Babylon used to be the head of all the nations. Babylon. Where's Babylon? You don't even hear tell it no more. It's gone. Persia, which is a modern Iran. Boy, they used to be King Kong. Look at them now. America's got its foot down on her right now with our current president. That other president, boy, he like to have us in a mess. But if our current president goes out, this other outfit believes like the other president did. Amen. I'm telling you, the one that is the potter has all the cards. May I say it that way? And that party in America will be over. Look at Rome. Boy, Rome was a world power in Jesus' day. And the Jews wouldn't accept Jesus because of Rome. They wanted Jesus to get rid of Rome being oppressing them. Jesus didn't come to get rid of Rome. Not at that time. But between 400 and 500 years later, Rome did like America's doing. We're rotting on the inside. And that's what happened to Rome. From the inside, they fell. Just like America's going to fall from the inside. Amen. Rottenness. Sin. I don't need God. You'll find out. Amen. Germany. Look how powerful Germany was with Hitler. Where are they at now? Boy, we've been taking care of Germany. God uses nations to bring judgment upon other nations because of their sin. And you know what? That nation might be more sinful than the nation he's going to destroy. God does that too. God also will allow our lives to fall apart to get our attention when we're in sin. Boy, the people today can't pay their bills. You know why they can't? Sin. Sin. Your money won't go as far. You misuse your money. You better be saving your money if you're making any. There's some hard days coming. In Philippians 2:13, the Bible says, God's at work in Christians, for it is God. Listen to this. This is to you. For God is at work in you, Christians, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's working in your life. He's working, calling you to live right. He wants to make you somebody with a good name. Amen? God's working in every Christian person's life, no matter who they are. And he's allowing various trials and situations to mold us and to make us a vessel for his glory if we'll let him. In James 1:2-4. My brethren, James write, this is the Lord's brother writing, by the way. Count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You having it hard? Can't hardly make ends meet? Hey, get right with God. Call on the Lord. Trust on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. But I'll tell you something, you might have to wait a while because he's going to prove you. Any amens? God knows what he's doing with us, folks. Hey, I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. It's not only in the book. I've had it. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience live her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's James 1:2-4. What great verses. The most important thing in this life for you is not to acquire things, but to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. It's hard for us to see or understand some of the things that happen to us as being a blessing to us. But sometimes something that stops us is a blessing. God is using all these trials to mold us and make us better vessels for His glory and for our eternal good. God's working for your best, not against you, not against me. Hey, life is more than right now in these days. Life is going to be forever. God's wanting you to shine forever. God desires glory from your life. He saved us for His own name's sake and glory. God's going to show us off one day. Did y'all know that? God's going to show us all. We're going to be a showpiece that God has to display us to the angels. Do other people see you changing and growing as a Christian? Can someone say about you, you know, that person has really changed a lot, haven't they? You know, that's what people should be saying about us. Boy, they're faithful to that church. They're faithful to the Lord. Boy, their faith on their giving. They're just faithful the way they live for the Lord. That's what God's wanting out of us, church. That's what's happened to the church at large in the country and in the world. The church has become so liberal, so worldly, so carnal. We're like the Laodicean church. We got everything we need, they said. No, they didn't. They needed Jesus. He was standing outside the door trying to get in with them. And most churches today, that's the way it is. But they're having a good time on the inside. How's your temper? Your pride? Your selfishness? Your lust? Your talk? Are you humbling yourself? God's looking at all these things. God is making vessels of honor and dishonor out of us. Are you bringing honor to the Lord or dishonor? As the clay yields to the potter's hand, so let us be conformed to His will for His glory and our eternal good, church. Listen to what God says in Jeremiah 18:4. And the vessel that He made of clay was marred. Listen to this. And the vessel He made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So He made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. He had to remake that vessel. Had to make another vessel because it was marred. Notice the clay was marred in the potter's hand. So he had to make another vessel. Will God have to make us a less honorable vessel than He planned because we were marred? God wants the best for all of us. God wants the best. But we can bring dishonor on our own self. In closing, this new year, let's seek to grow in grace Let's seek to grow in the knowledge of our great God, be faithful, obedient, praying, Christians. Did you know it's Christians that's keeping this nation free? It's not the army. It's Christian people that's faithful to the Lord that's keeping this country free. If this country goes down, it's because of Christian people that weren't faithful. I'm just telling y'all the truth. I got to tell you the truth. Do we have enough Christians in this country that God can let us stay free? It's not the hooping and the hollering, folks. It's the humble, the faithful, the obedient that trust in the Lord. Loving God, help this church to be an honorable church of people that hears the word of God, lives by the word of God, helps get out the word of God. Lord, we are your people by the grace of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would have your way in all of our hearts and life. Give us hearts, Lord, that want to love you and be faithful to you. Help us to always confess our sin. Keep our hearts clean and pure. Make us usable. Make us able to honor you, Lord. And we pray for all other churches that they would have this same goal in their own minds, that they'd be a church that's vessels to the Lord's honor and glory. And we pray always in Jesus' mighty, saving, loving name. Amen and amen. Today, our altars always is open for you to come talk to the Lord. Come get hearts right with the Lord if that needs to be.